One time I even dated a couple.
Really? How did that happen? Do you
feel the same? Welcome back to Drinks First, the podcast in which you can meet New York City's kinda eligible. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. Stay tuned till the end of the episode if you're interested in matching with our guest.
Welcome back to Drinks First. We have a very exciting guest. She's a really good friend and a very interesting person, in my opinion. I'm going to let her introduce herself. So do you mind telling us where you're from, how old you are, what you do, like where you live?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on today. I am really excited to be on such an interesting podcast with the most amazing concept. I am born and raised in Queens. I went to college in the South. I went to Vanderbilt, which is in Nashville, Tennessee. I lived there for 5 years. I just moved back to New York City, and I moved to Williamsburg. I actually just moved. Like a week ago, I got my crib.
I know. I have to come see your guys' crib. I'm like, it happened so quickly, I feel like.
Oh, it did. Like one day we found it, the next day we toured, and the third day we were like signing our lease. But beware, it was too good to be true.
No, really? Why? Mm-hmm.
It was way too good to be true. Dude, like what aren't we dealing with? Leaks when it rains. Cockroaches coming out of the cracks in the ceiling that we didn't even know they were there when we got the apartment. And there were also wires in the walls, but they were covered when we toured. So we had no idea. No, it's like slumlord type stuff.
That's a fucking sneaky.
I know, it was really sneaky, but these people didn't realize who they were dealing with. You know, our landlord thought he was going to get away with shisting us. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you have no idea the kind of stunts we will pull to make sure that we stand up for ourselves.
Okay. Well, that's such a New York City tidbit for our listeners. But beyond that, now that you're in Williamsburg, but you've also grown up in Queens and you've been living in the city, where are some places you also, I don't think you said your age.
Oh, I'm 24, you guys.
There we go. Where do you like to eat and where do you like to go out?
Great question. Two of my favorite things. I love going out everywhere. I love my spots in Manhattan, but being in Williamsburg has just opened me up to a whole new world. Because even when I was in high school, don't tell the feds, I used to go out, right? In the city, obviously, as we all did. And a lot of those places, interestingly enough, have evolved as we did. So, I used to go to the Jane, right, when I was in high school. But now I'm still going to the Jane as a 24-year-old. And it's completely different than it was when I was in high school. Now it's that older crowd that's, my age. And it's, And so it's really interesting, Jane, Electric Room, all those spots. I love make-believe, which is why I kept talking about Jack Mulqueen's episode before we started recording. But being in Williamsburg has opened me up to, a whole new world. I love the bars on my block. I live on a block that has 3 bars on the block. Literally in between the deli on each corner are 3 bars, and it's perfect. And then there are the spots, Union Pool. I heard from someone that it's one of the most notorious hookup bars in NYC, FYI.
Yeah, it gives I'm not a huge fan of Union Pool because it's kind of it's the fresh off the boat crowd, but just in Brooklyn.
Right.
But
right.
It's still filled with young people who are horny as hell. So
yes.
By all means.
Yeah. I've been there once since moving to Williamsburg, and in that time span, I met someone that was in my scholarship program back in high school. I ran into them. Then I ran into someone that was an alum from the same college that my mother went to, and they were they graduated at a similar time. It was just this is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think my favorite place to go out in Williamsburg is Black Flamingo. Mm. And that's a place that I've been to since before moving to Williamsburg, and it's still just as cool.
Yeah, it's people don't talk about it enough. It is a really cool place, and they always have good music.
Mm, but it's not even music that you know. Like, at least for me, it's all this house that I've never been exposed to before, and half of it I can't even find on Shazam.
Yeah, no, totally. And I feel like I was just at a party at Milagrosa, which was in Williamsburg this past weekend, and it was, like, that same situation. They were spinning vinyl. Like, you wouldn't be able to, like, ID the tracks. Like, it's not like they're playing Love Tonight by Shouse, you know? Like. Oof.
a banger,
yeah. But also, like, just being exposed to different things, Brooklyn is definitely, like, the right place to go for that. But
yeah,
I think we've had, like, similar experiences growing up here and going out, and just
we did, didn't we
yeah. We definitely did. I mean, we also, like, we were just talking, you came to my event on Wednesday. I'm so happy you did. I'm happy you had a good time.
The best time ever. Like I told you, it's now Monday of the following week, and I have continued talking about it, like, to everyone.
That makes me so happy. So if you're listening to this, make sure you come to the next Drinks First event. We post about them on Instagram. But we ended up at afterwards, which is, the storied club of the moment. I feel like people are like, oh my God, like, the hardest door in New York City. And I'm like, yeah, it is a hard door. Like, they do all of that. I mean, I've been before. You've been before, right? So, like, no surprise there. And we went. And I just wanted to bring this up because I think it's important to talk about these experiences because I guess I have some sort of a platform. And I wasn't going to, like, put them on blast on, like, TikTok or something like that. But because I actually, like, a week ago, a TikTok came on my feed with this girl saying, like, this is so fucking racist. They would only let me and she came with four friends. Two of them were white. Two of them were not white. And the doorman said, two of you can come in. And she said, like, any two of us? And he just pointed to the two white girls and he said, no, just you two. And so they left and she, like, made a TikTok about it. And everybody was dressed cute. Everybody was attractive. And, like, he had singled out the two white girls and said, like, only you two can come in. And she was like, never go to whatever, whatever. And a lot of the comments were from people of color being like, I love, I've never had an issue. Like, I mean, I've gone before. I haven't had an issue. But then when we went this weekend, it was. We had an issue. And it was super weird. Like, this is not a doorman that I've, like, known before. It's not a doorman that, like, many of my friends were familiar with. But a lot of people from the event ended up going to afterwards. And I go, and they were kind of giving my friend, who goes a lot, a hard time. And when the main doorman came out, recognized her, said, she's golden, you know, let her in and let all of her friends in. He resigned. Then he was like, okay, you guys come in. We went inside. I immediately bumped into someone I know. He's like, let's get some air. So we walk outside. And when I tried going back in, they wouldn't let me back in. And they were letting other people back in, the other white girls online. And because maybe I wasn't with my white friends who I walked in with, like, it just felt very pointed. I mean, you were there, like, my friends inside, they tried coming out to get me. They tried talking to the doorman, and he was just adamant on the fact that I was not allowed back in.
Yes. And the thing with that, Ariana, is you know. Like, you know when you're being treated some type of way. After a lifetime of having experiences of this sort, you know exactly how they all align together. So your assessment is absolutely accurate. And I will attest, like, we were all, like, none of us were in any way, shape, or form in a weird state. Like, we all came very collected, very put together. And we were bringing all the people too, is the other thing. The place was still, like, it must have been, like, maximum, like, half capacity, yeah. Maximum. maximum. And like you said, they were still letting hella people in. They were just not letting you in for some reason. Actually, we know the reason, but they weren't letting you in. And you were like, you were actually legitimately sober because you were hosting the event prior.
Yeah, I mean, everyone had come for my event. I'm not going to lie. I had drank. And I think at this point I had felt, because it felt so personal, I feel like I blacked out with like rage and just like embarrassment. Like I felt
like
humiliated.
The emotion. Yeah.
Yeah. And the emotion in that moment, because it was very clear like that it was just me. It wasn't anyone else. And the weirdest thing was that I understand when you pull up to a club and they say, hey, like it's list only tonight or like whatever, which means like you're not going to get in tonight, which is fine. Like that happens. But when you show up and you get inside and then you step out for a breath of air and everyone else is let back in and you're not, it's personal.
It is personal.
It was terrible. It felt awful. I haven't had an experience like that in a long time. And, you know, now, like I said, I wasn't going to put them on blast. You know, some amount of people will listen to this and it's not as overt as me making an Instagram story or making a TikTok and like pushing it and having people know. And, you know, I've said this before, I've been to, had a good time. The bouncers and the doormen have been incredibly nice to me in the past. Is it a reflection on the establishment? Maybe. Like, this is somebody who works for you and they're making you feel a certain way. So that is your employee, so you should take responsibility for them. But at the same time, it's like, did this person just, was he on a power trip? Did he have a stick up his ass? Maybe.
Yes to all.
Yes to all. I don't want to harp on it. That's not why we're here. But regardless,
I brought it up. Yeah.
It was still a great night. And everybody should come to Drinks First parties. We're very inclusive. And we're not in the business of ruining anyone's night.
No, no. You threw the best party. Literally one of the best parties I've ever been to.
You are gassing me.
No, I'm so honest. I have no reason to. It was so, so much fun. And all the people I met were amazing. Like I made like genuine connections there. Not even in a necessarily a romantic sense, but there was just so many people that I vibed with and have stayed in touch with and have made subsequent plans with. So thank you for putting on such an event, you know, with such an amazing crowd. Oh,
that's so sweet. Well, true. I want to talk about you. That's why we're here. So talking about romantic connections, like how is your dating life going?
My dating life is busy, busy, busy. I've always like whenever I would give advice to any of my friends, I would always like tell people like the best way to get over a breakup is to just go ham. And that's where I find myself.
So we are in post-breakup mode right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although even still, I will say, even though it's only been like just slightly less than a month, I think my rebound was so strong that I feel like it's been a year and like I'm not even that caught up in it, which is crazy because I had been dating this person for over a year and it feels like the time is so skewed. But that's what happens, you know, when you put your plan into action.
Well, what was this relationship like and what happened to it?
So overall, I will say it was a good relationship. It was a really hard year for both of us. More so, I mean, it was a hard year for everybody, right? It was like everyone, nobody had what is essentially a good year due to the pandemic. We were both experiencing a lot of life changes. We both had like certain personal things that we were dealing with, whether it's like loss in the family or health or just like moments of growth where you experience growing pains. All of that was like more so, I don't want to say worse because everyone has their own experience, but just like I just went through one bad thing after another, having nothing to do with my boyfriend, just having everything to do with like work, family, friends, just like there was a lot of struggle and strife around me that I became like embroiled in or that I experienced. And it ended up just like resulting in a lot of hardship for me. So I will say that like it was definitely not a great time to be in a relationship for that reason. But at the end of the day, like we really liked each other and it was like, okay, like we're going to push through. We're going to push through. We're going to push through. I broke up with him around a month ago when it all just became like it just became too apparent for me that the circumstances were so unsustainable for a relationship. And it's so ironic because I broke up with him because I thought I had too much anxiety to be a good girlfriend. So I thought I was making like a mature, selfless decision. And Ari, listen to this. Here's where it gets really crazy. So we had taken like, we were both traveling during the early summer months. And then part of it was that we would go to the same city and be together there for a while. So not only does a whole ton of stuff blow up because it was initially going to be like a long, like stay together. I don't want to get like too far into this, like the specific, because it's not as relevant. Like it was going to be a whole thing. We were going to stay together for a while. The day of, he's like, oh, I actually don't want to do this. Like I'm going through a lot of stuff right now. I don't think like I can like really, I don't know. I just feel off. I feel weird. And I'm just like out here being like, well, you know, like, we're partners, like we should try to see like if we want to do it, like why don't I come for the, you know, trying to like really accommodate him because I know what it feels like to go through stuff. Like I'd been going through stuff for most of the year. But it turns out during this time, while we were there together, he was also cheating on me with this person that we were hanging out with almost every day.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm laughing because it's so ludicrous. Like it's like beyond the pale of imagination.
I'm like, how do you even have time? Like, how do you get away with that?
I know. And the thing is, like, I was in and out of that city. Like I was traveling elsewhere. My effort to like give space, you know, to like let him kind of deal with his things the way he wanted to. Never like in a million years could I have realized that like this was happening. And you know the crazy thing too? I'll just keep spilling the tea cuz I feel like the entertainment value is like through the roof. Like when I was there, I was picking up on all of these like idiosyncrasies that I had never really seen before, and it was causing me to feel concerned about him. I was like, is he okay to be acting this way? So very ironically, the person I turned to for advice was this other girl. And I was like, yo, he's doing such and such. Like, what do you think about this? Like, cause she was also spending all this time with us, right? So I was like, as an outsider, how do you view this? And we like talked about it pretty extensively. And at one point she started saying to me like, well, do you think he's possibly cheating on you?
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is psychotic.
I know. I know. I know. And listen, listen. And I'm thinking to myself, like, no, like, I'm like, you know, maybe, I mean, I don't know. Like, you never know, you know, you really never know. And especially when people are going through a hard time, your relationship is not great. Like most people don't do it, but it's not that far beyond the pale, right? And I would be like, but I was like, no, there's no way. There's no way, especially not now. Like, especially not right now. Like, there's no way he's acting weird right now because he's cheating on me right now, you know? But little do you know.
If you're listening to this, things have changed in the past few months since I first recorded this episode with my guest. So stay tuned until the end of the episode to hear about what exactly has been happening the past few months. Thank you for your patience and hope you listen to the rest of the episode. Enjoy.
we can't discount the fact that, like, you have had love for this person. Like, that's why people do things. That for the people, that's why they dismiss red flag behavior. And you just sometimes need to double check yourself when you feel like multiple times that your gut is saying, like, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. You know, more often than not, it probably isn't right.
You're so right, Ariana. That is so, so true. Your gut is always right. You need to learn through experience that concept should be reinforced. Like, I'm glad this happened now as opposed to 10 or 15 years down the line when the stakes would have been so much higher. Like, imagine if there were kids involved. Imagine if there was legal stuff involved. Imagine if I had like a high-powered career where I didn't have any leeway to have a couple days to just like regroup with myself, you know?
Yeah, that's such a good point. I just think we need to learn to trust ourselves a little more. I think that hopefully will come with age. And I think that the security and the trust that you have with yourself is the most important thing you can have, especially when going into a relationship. And that, I think, I see that even often with like girls who are younger than us who are in college, and it's like, know your worth, know what like is good for you, know what you think, like, you don't know what you deserve until you kind of have it. And I feel like that's how I felt. I would like make exceptions for shitty things that would happen to me until I was treated the way that I deserve to be treated. And I was like, this is what it should be like. Why am I making any exceptions for anything less than this? And you don't know that until you experience it, which is sad. And you don't believe it until you have that sort of trust and like that trust and self-worth and self-confidence in yourself. And that comes with time. It comes with experience. But it is something that you can practice even if you're younger and you're growing up, you're going through this. And someone's doing something shitty to you. Somebody ghosts you, something as small as that. Like, if you feel like it's not right, say something, stand up for yourself. Like, the person who's going to treat you the best is you.
Always. Always. Hands down. Hands down. And this reminds me of the Maya Angelou quote, right? When somebody shows you who they are, you got to believe them. But that's true for all things, because what it really goes down to is trusting your own judgment. Trust what you see. Trust what you experience. Trust what you understand. And even in this month of separation, even in this month of like having the truth within myself, I feel like I've grown so much. Like, I feel like my mentality has shifted. I feel like my expectations, my standards have all shifted. I feel like also my willingness to accept certain moments has shifted too. You know, I'm definitely like more open-minded in a way, which is interesting, because you would think that an experience like this jades you, but for me it's been like the total opposite.
What has this past month been like for you, being single, being in the city, like settled down in your own place finally?
Awesome. It's been amazing. The week after we broke up, I went and got this amazing tattoo. And at the tattoo place, one of the guys that worked there was like, at the end, I spent pretty much the whole day there because it was a really intricate tattoo. But we were all vibing, like me, him, and the tattoo artist. Like, we were like drinking beers and like, it was really fun. And then he was like, let me take you out. And I was like, word. And we had the best time, the best time. And we didn't go out again, but it was phenomenal. And I had like, I was like, yeah, like, this is fun. Like, I like dating. I like being single. Like, I forgot how much fun it was because I hadn't been that way, you know, for a while. But it's been so much fun. I'm on these dating apps. Those have amounted to some really fun experiences too. Like, and for whatever reason, I've had really good luck in filtering people out. So, like, everybody that I've been matching with, like, I've been vibing with.
What apps do you use? What app is your favorite?
Hinge, Bumble, and The League.
Oh, interesting. Do you like The League?
Yeah, I do. I think I started off with The League because Hinge and Bumble felt like they would have been just a little bit much. Like the wealth of options kind of brings you to the paradox of choice. And you're like, how do I begin? Whereas the League is like a much smaller network. And I was like, okay, whoever I date, like I want at least like some guarantee that they're like a little stable and like it in a similar like professional capacity as I am. So we started there, and then that was fun. There are just like a lot of daddies on the League, like a lot of like the 40, 45 year old types that like you have to.
Is that what you're like filtering for? Like, what are your? You said that you're having good luck filtering.
Just on the league. Everyone else is like the chillers in my age range, but on the League, like I'm not gonna turn down like a date with this like salt and pepper hottie at Avra Madison, you know, like
I have to start raising my age limit on the League. What am I doing?
No, you have to. That's the trick. And like, because they're so old, like they don't expect anything in return.
Like, wait, so it sounds like you've gone on like one or two dates then off the League.
Yeah, like several. Like,
wait, okay, tell me.
Like, they've all been really fun. I went out with this, like, exec at, like, this bank. I went out with an attorney. And then I went out, who is that other guy that I went? Oh, with a surgeon at Mount Sinai. And they were all just, like, obviously, like, old. So for me, like, it's not going anywhere. But it's honestly just, like, refreshing to be like taken care of for a second. And that like really helped me like kind of reorient. I was like, oh, like I'm being daddied up. This feels great. And like they're all rich as fuck. So they're all trying to like ball out on this hot young chick. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah, let's get drinks and let's get dinner. And let's like then go to this like tasting and like 4 Michelin stars ain't cutting it. Like let's shoot for the top, you know?
I love this energy. I absolutely love it.
Highly recommend. It's a mindset. Once you have it, there's no going back. And I think that was also really effective in then enabling me to really use Bumble and Hinge to the best of my ability. Because I've already been on these dates that I know are the creme de la creme. So then I have like a really nice standard for comparing all of my subsequent dates to. And that's not to say that like anyone that you go out on a date with has to shell out hordes of cash for it to be fun. But there is a certain level of decorum, the same word I used earlier, you know, that like is really nice to see as a consistent thing in your dates that you then can expect comfortably from everyone else. And you can kind of tell from your conversations before you agree to a date whether or not a person possesses that. But you have to see it in action first to know what to look for.
Totally. So do you find yourself, like, since you're kind of re-entering the dating app world, do you find yourself trying to get people, like, off the app really quickly and, like, meet them for a date? Or do you spend time, like, actually ASAP. Talking to them and then determining ASAP?
No, ASAP. Like, I have a brief conversation where I ask a couple of questions. Like, we ask the basics, like, you know, what do you do? What's your thing? But usually what I'll do is, like, I'll find a comment in their profile that resonates with me, and I'll reply to that. And then if the way that I reply to that and they respond to my reply, there's a lot of back and forth resonating going on, and it doesn't feel forced, and it happens within a certain time span, because I don't like to be like carrying these conversations over a period of several days. Like,
totally.
If you match and you send me a message and I send it back, like, make an effort to keep it going, because I'm not trying to keep opening this app just for you. Like, you know, I want it to make a plan. And that's the kind of pace that I vibe with as well. So if a person matches your pace, they're able to understand kind of the way that you communicate, and you like what you see based on their photos and everything that they've said about themselves, I think that's all you really need to say, okay, like, odds are if we go on a date, we'll vibe. And I will say that with 2 people that I've met off of Hinge, I've gone on 3 and 2 dates with, respectively. And all of those dates have been really fun. One of them lives in New York, Miami, and Tel Aviv. So he's never here for a prolonged period of time, but like, nicest guy ever. His friends are all really cool. Like, I had the best time going out with them.
That's a huge green flag. It's like, if they invite you out with their friends and you go out and you have a good time, like, That is the most attractive thing, I think, in my opinion.
The most attractive thing. I completely agree. And the other thing that I also liked about this was that his friends thought really highly of him. And I thought really highly of his friends. So that's,
yeah,
a lot,
that's
of,
huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the judgment here is being validated on all angles, basically.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so on Hinge and Bumble, are you, like, limiting yourself to kind of more people at our age, or is it also a wider range, or have you had any new experiences, like, on these dating apps or off these dating apps that have been, like, any sort of enlightening in the past month?
Well, everybody that I've gone out with has been really, really generous. And that's something that I really appreciate. Because, again, it's not about, like, how much you give, but your willingness to share what you have. And that's how I am with people. So I'm really glad that that's been kind of reinforced by the experiences I've had so far. One thing that I always do on first dates is, like, I talk about politics. So, like, this guy from Tel Aviv, I was like, oh, you know, something that really bothers me? The situation in Gaza.
And how did he take that?
He was like, whoa. He's like, yeah, it bothers me too, but, like, it's bad on both sides. I was like, really? Like, is it really equally bad on both sides? Like, I really didn't let it go. But he was able to, like, hold his own and, like, see my perspective, you know, and he didn't get uncomfortable by the prospect of talking about it. And that's how I am always. Like, because politics are so central to me. So is every other interesting topic, honestly. So I don't see the point in beating around the bush about things that are, like, intellectually stimulating.
Facts. That's facts. That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you kind of looking for going forth? Like, from here on out, what kind of people are you trying to meet?
I am really not limiting myself. You know, I'm really not limiting myself at all. I don't have a type. I date men and women, although I'm kind of on a kick for men right now. And I think that I would like to see myself with a partner again, probably in... I was going to say 6 months, but I'm like, nah, I'm having too much fun. Like, maybe within a year, I would like to be with another partner. But I don't think there's any harm in taking it slow. And I'm also really upfront. Like, I'm like, yo, like, I'm out here. I'm dating, you know?
Yeah.
I'm dating you, but also I'm dating generally. And I think that's just, like, important. Just, like, from, like, an ethical standpoint, if the issue ever comes up. But what I'm looking for are just good experiences, like, with folks I can vibe with, and specifically folks that I'm not friends with. That's something about me that's so weird. I do not date my friends. I don't hook up with my friends. I don't sleep with my friends. And I don't date my friends. Like, I just don't. Like, once I'm friends with you... If I vibe with you as a friend, odds are very, 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 very low that it's going to switch to romantic.
Yeah, I'm like that too. Because I also think, like, once you value somebody as a friend, like, having them as a friend is higher rank than, like, being romantically involved with them. Because it's,
yeah,
like, what are you really going to get? Like, the prolonged relationship, if you really care about somebody, like, being friends with them should be just as fulfilling as, like, you know, should be more fulfilling than having, like, romantic relationships with them.
Dude, that is exactly how I feel. I met this guy last week who I vibed with so hard. Like, we met when we were out at this, like, after party, and we just had, like, the best conversations. Literally, this was after the event that you threw. All good things, like, come from drinks first. Like, actually, like, this was after the event you threw. Me and a bunch of people that were at your event ended up linking at an after party. These are people that I just met at the event. I had never spoken to any of them before, except for the one friend that I brought.
Wait, that's so fun.
Oh, yeah.
And you texted me and you were like, do you want to come to this after party? And I was so bummed that I was just like, I'm home. Like,
yeah.
I'm okay. Next time.
I'm like, actually, like, it was the best time. And then there was this one person there that I vibed with so heavy. But my first thought was like, I want to be friends with you forever. You know, that was my first. And that's kind of the way, the train that I rode. Like, that was literally it. And I could tell that he was vibing me too, potentially in like a more romantic kind of way. But I was just like, nah, friends for life. Like, I like you too much. I like you too much.
But that's kind of facts. It's like, I like you a lot. Like, I'd rather have you be around for a long time than like jump into something romantic and have it fuck up.
Yeah.
But and some people might call that the friend zone, but I don't think the friend zone exists because like you have no inclination to be with somebody romantic. So by saying that there's something called a friend zone, you're basically implying that like you had a shot to begin with.
Right. Whereas for people like us, that's a boundary we have. If you're friends, you're just not going to cross. You shall not pass. Like, that's it.
Thou shall not pass. But, oh, so you mentioned also, I know you said you're on, like, a guy kick right now, but you date women as well. Like, what do you look like? What do you look for when you're dating women? Is it the same or is it different?
Oh, my God. It's completely different for women. It really depends on, like, where I am in my own life. At certain times, I like to date women that are way more masculine than me, that, like, clearly wear the pants in the relationship and, like, are basically a guy with a vagina. But otherwise, like, other times, I like to date women that are, like, very similar to me, very feminine, very bubbly, very outgoing, like these, like, fairy types, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and it really just depends on, like, where I'm at in my own life. My first girl crush, this is when I knew I was bisexual. She was, like, way more masculine than me. We were childhood friends. I always knew that she was bi and potentially, not even bi, but potentially she likes women exclusively. And, like, I remember talking to her. Like, I was like, why do you tell me you're straight? Like, you're not straight. Like, we've been friends our whole lives. Like, I know you like girls. Like, go date a girl, you know? And I was like, and then I kissed her. We were, like, in the eighth grade. I kissed her. And then, like, a couple days later, she was like, oh, my God, you're so right. I can't stop thinking about it. But because, like, I was so infatuated with her, all the women that I was into subsequently were, like, kind of on her wavelength of being not very femme at all. But then as I grew and I became more dominant in certain settings, then depending on where I was in my own life, I kind of wanted that balance. If you're asking me if I'm interested in sugar mommies, the answer is yes.
So for any sugar mommies listening, if I hit that demographic, that would be amazing.
Yeah, just send a DM.
So did you realize you were bi when you were in eighth grade because of this girl?
I guess so. But that was the time that I was like attracted to anybody. You know, I never really had... Oh, that's a lie. I was going to say I never had crushes in middle school. I had this crazy crush on this boy all throughout elementary and middle school. I liked him like more than life itself. And funnily enough, 3 weeks ago, I ran into him in Penn Station. I haven't spoken to this man since we were 13 years old. Like literally, I don't have him on Instagram. I don't have him on Facebook. I don't have him on Snapchat. Like, and we ran into each other at Penn Station.
Oh my God, is he still cute? Like, did you get his
anything? Of course he's still cute. Oh my God, he's adorable. He's literally cuter than ever. And yeah, like I got his number, but I was out with my friends that night. So I don't wanna, he was like calling me. He was like, yo, like, can we link at like 10? Like, but I was like, oh, like,
You have to hit him up. It feels like it's fate.
I will. Maybe I'll save it when I'm like 30 and like ready to settle down, you know? I can hit him up and like not marry him.
That's valid, but I mean, we can get the ball rolling.
Very true. I had him as my first crush. He was my first crush. My first and only, quite honestly. Like, I liked him, like, basically my whole childhood. And then in eighth grade,
I was hanging out a lot with this girl. We've always been really close, but we would only see each other over the summer because it would be like when I would go on summer vacation with my family and she lived where I would go on vacation. So I would hang out with her there and then we're just like vibing a lot. And like, again, that was still like, I always had that like thou shalt not pass thing with my friends. So, I mean, I would love to just like really get in there, but she's my friend. So I can't.
So you knew pretty young, like.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even register it as being bi. I didn't even register it as being bi. For me, it was like, oh, I like her. You know, I like her. I feel this like feeling in my stomach about her. And I didn't even realize that there was like a term for it until I was like in high school. But then even then, I didn't even think it applied to me. I was like, oh, I just like everybody, you know, like I'm not like I never really identified with that. Although a lot of people did, rightfully so. Just for me, I never thought that much about my own identity, my own self. And honestly, like, that's a privilege to not have to, you know? But then in college, I was like, oh, maybe I'm bi, maybe I'm pan. Like, maybe these are the right words for what, like, you would call someone like me. And I, like, very liberally dated men and women. One time I even dated a couple.
Really? What was mm-hmm. How did that happen?
I was a senior in college. And I met them at a bar and they were older. They were older, this old married couple. They were like in their 40s and they were these like hot shots like down in Nashville. And they were like, we'd love to take you out. Like, we'd love to go to dinner with you. And I was like, shit, all right. So we went out and like the rest is history. We were like dating for a month and a half. But polyamory is a lot of work. Mad respect to the people that do it. Having to please two people constantly, that's just a lot. It's just a lot.
Yeah. I was actually just talking to a friend who had gone on a date with somebody who was poly and ENM, so that's ethically non-monogamous. And he was in a couple. He had a girlfriend. He lived with his girlfriend. And she like went on a date with him and went well, like, you know, they made out, whatever. He wanted to see her again. They did see each other again. And then, you know, she hit him up and he was like, because to her, it was like, this isn't any different to, you know, to me when I'm dating somebody and they're still going on dates with other people. Like, this person's just more upfront about it. Like, you're not sitting by your phone, you know, thinking that somebody's going to text you because they're with someone else because they literally are with someone else.
Yeah. Like, so, that's literally who they are.
Yeah, like, and they're at least they're upfront about it, right? So she was, like, fine with the idea of all of it, and she hit him up, and he was like, hey, like, look, I like, am attracted to you, but I don't really have the romantic spark, and you know, I think you're cool, but I just am having a lot of like conflict in my other relationships right now. And like, if we met up, like it would be more of a sexual release. And I don't really think that I can like even handle that right now in my current like relationships and situations with like my more committed partners. And like, fine, you know, they weren't in that deep, but he was like fully in polyamory, like had a girlfriend, had other committed partners, like, and I think when it comes to poly things, I've like talked to other people and I found it interesting the way that it works is, you know, you have your primary partner, you have your nesting partners, like, and you have to commit to these people like with your whole emotion and self, or you have to like put them in a priority, which is for the people who can do it, I totally understand like why polyamory is a thing, how it works to some degree. But I am like, that is so much effort to sustain that relationship And the fact that he had said to my friend, like, oh, like, I'm burning out in my other relationships and I'm dealing with conflict and I don't think I can get into something with you, is like, oh my God, this man is truly stretching himself so thin, you know?
Like, dude, how do you focus on your job at that point? How do you read a book? Like, when do you shower? Like, if you're that stressed because you have so many relationships, like, maybe you should cut down on a couple of them. Also, something that I think would really suck, and I'm sure, like, I don't know if your friend felt this way, but I know that, like, petty part in me definitely would. Like, somebody rejected me. Meanwhile, they're in, like, a committed relationship with, like, five other people. I would be like, all right, so everybody else gets a piece of this cake, but not me? Seriously?
But at that point, it's like, all you're getting is the slice, right? Like,
true.
Don't you want the entire cake?
Yeah.
And that's not true for everyone. Like, I am by no means knocking polyamory or ethically non-monogamous people. Like, I totally get the lifestyle. I understand why people do it. It's just, it takes a really specific kind of person and other specific kinds of people to, like, keep that relationship up and going and successful. Mm. It's so hard to already juggle one relationship, right?
Yeah.
So, like, with your experience, were you, like, dating both of these people? Were all of your experiences with them as a couple, or were there, like, separate experiences with, like, the wife and the husband?
I was dating them as a couple. I am not polyamorous. I'm extremely monogamous. And that was one of the reasons that I couldn't be in that relationship any longer, you know, because, like I said, having to please them both, even when they were together, was a lot for me. So imagine if I was dealing with them separately now. Like, at least for me, it was like a 2-for-1 every time I saw them. If I had to schedule separate time for each of them, it would have been overwhelming. And it was overwhelming emotionally. So logistically, like, impossible. It would have been just impossible for me to handle. And it was fun. I learned a lot about myself. It was very inspirational to watch the level of trust that they had with each other and the mutual excitement that they got out of this multi-person relationship. It was definitely a very inspirational thing for me to witness, and I think enabled me to broaden my own conception of a relationship and kind of the way people operate, and to really understand that people are extremely complicated and they have complicated ways of perceiving and doing and living their lives. For me, I could only relate so far, and I felt like my capacity to be present was dwindling for the reasons that we just talked about. So I had to tap out, but it was an amazing experience. Like, it was crazy. They had a dungeon in their apartment, like a full-on dungeon, like a playroom.
Look, I think it's amazing the kind of, like, community that exists around people who are sort of, like, really sex positive and, like, into, you know, things that are quote-unquote, like, not the norm, which is vanilla monogamy, like, two separate things, like, vanilla and monogamy. Not to say that either of those things are bad by any means, but, sure. Like, I think there's, like, I know here, at least, like, in New York, there's such a community of people who are in that sort of, like, realm of like, sex positive, whatever. And there are parties, like, there are people put on, like, parties in New York, like, all the time. Like, I was just talking to somebody who went to, there's something, this episode is so informative. There's something called NSFW, which is, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Not safe for work?
Well, they call themselves the New Society for Wellness.
Oh! What?
I don't know. I mean, like, they have, like, 20,000 followers on Instagram, so this is, like, not a secret.
Yeah, but you're not putting some underground spot on blast.
No, I'm not putting some underground spot on blast, but yeah. It's literally, like, they host sex workshops, sex parties. They have, like, a flagship in Soho, and they do them, like, once or twice a weekend. yeah, they happen like super often. And I know that, like, I was just talking to somebody who went there like this past weekend, and they were telling me like just kind of how it's set up, and you know, everybody has to have a conversation about consent and all of these things. And there's rooms for people to socialize. There are rooms for, you know, people to have fun. If you want to join on the fun, you have to ask people, be straight up, if you can join or not. Like, there's very much these like communities that exist in New York, and I'm sure they exist in a lot of other places. But the something that like really resonated with me was like, was like what you just said about the way that people are like live their lives in certain ways you wouldn't even know, like so sexually open, so free. It's kind of inspirational to see, you know, relationships be viewed through a different lens, whether it's non-monogamy, it's polyamory, it's the way that relationships can exist beyond just the normal dichotomy and the normal binary. And I find that like incredibly interesting and admirable, and something that I would love to explore down the line on my podcast. So, you know, if anybody's listening to this and you have experience with it, you know, I'd love to chat with you, because I think it's so important to look at relationships from all different kinds of lenses. It's not just this one aspirational cookie cutter, like these two people together forever. That's not what everybody wants. Mm-mm. So, oh, I think it's really cool you had that experience.
I do too. I'm really grateful for it. And I think, and you know, the best part about it is that I think they were too. Like, I think they got something real out of being with me. And I'm really happy that we were able to create something so symbiotic with each other, you know, albeit for a short period of time. But, you know, like, a lot of times people will say, like, oh, sex doesn't matter that much in a relationship. Like, that is actually the farthest thing from the truth, you know? Like, obviously there are a lot of things that are equally as important, but I think it's such a puritanical perspective to say that, like, that very basic need could possibly be drawn to the sidelines. I mean, of course, there are some people that are asexual, aromantic, demi for both, and that's not what we're talking about here. You know, we're talking about people that are not asexual, not aromantic, trying to front that sex is something that they don't value. But it's like, who are you to suggest that you're above one of the most basic human needs and experiences?
Yeah, right? And I look at people, like, there are people I know who have, you know, cheated a lot in their relationships, that have found it hard to be faithful to one person. And I, you know, maybe it's a different way of like looking through a different lens of that and saying, hey, maybe monogamy is not for you. Mm. Like, maybe you're the kind of person who would like to be like committed to, not committed to anyone, or committed to a lot of people at once. Like,
sure.
Like, that's not to say that all cheaters are that, like that, and that they should, like, people should have that benefit of a doubt. But it is, like, sex is a very important part of relationships for a lot of people, not for everybody. And for those people, like, there are different ways that it can be expressed and different ways that people desire it, for it to be, whether it's different fetishes, different kinks, or even the way that they, like, view sex in a relationship.
Agreed. Agreed. And I think it's so psychological too. Like, for my recent experience with cheating, right? I think the last thing that this person tried to do was hurt me. I think the last thing he wanted to do was like intentionally manipulate me and intentionally hurt me. And I know, and like that I would find out about all of this, you know, and like have to deal with the fallout. But I think it's like a psychological thing. Like, some people are able to put up those walls between the different parts of their lives and have these multiple realities that they're living in, that they would just honestly be better off coalescing instead of having your life broken up into so many different rooms. Like, if you find it hard to stay faithful, there's nothing wrong with having some introspection and thinking if and even faithful, I guess, now that we're having this discussion, maybe that's a stigmatized and a loaded term, right? Like, maybe they're not being faithful to themselves and what they really want.
I do think that like this is such an interesting conversation. It's something that I want to learn more about and talk more about because it's, I think it's something, and I don't know if it's because I'm becoming older and I'm like meeting more people, but I feel like it's more common than we realize, like for people to have these sort of like different views on what's like a cookie cutter normal idea of like what people should be doing, which is like having one partner for the rest of your life and like wanting that committed relationship. Like I just see people doing different things now, and I can't tell if it's because I'm older or because things have progressed and I don't, you know, people are more open-minded. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think so too. Like if you were to ask me this, like even a year ago, like 2 years ago, I would have not had anywhere close to the level of knowledge or interest that I have in this conversation now. And I think that like with issues like this, there are always people that will like weaponize it, you know, or will use it as an excuse to be bad. One of my friends, like she was hooking up with this guy and he like for like months and months and months, and like he wouldn't commit to her because he would always say, oh, I'm polyamorous, I don't want to commit to you. And then
that's not even what that means though.
right. And then he saw her getting with this guy at a bar that they were both at, and the next day he was like, will you be my girlfriend? I changed my mind. I want to be with you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's not use these terms for your own advantage and your commitment issues. And like, if we're using them, use them correctly. like
please.
Polyamory is literally like, I will commit to you and I will also commit to multiple other people. Like,
exactly. And it's sad that there's no common knowledge yet of it, so people can kind of wield it in ways to be advantageous to themselves and kind of screw other people over. But hopefully, as with most things that get destigmatized, it won't be as easily weaponized down the line.
Totally. Well, I feel like we veered off a little bit and we're already like deep into convo.
Now we're on philosophy. We're talking about philosophy now. Somebody call Nietzsche. Put him on the phone.
I know. Literally, like, should we start getting into, like, Oedipus Rex? Like, there's a lot of things we can start digging into, like, some Freudian complexes. But I'm going to wrap up the episode because I know I can talk with you forever. Like, we will have a million things to talk about.
I know.
And we should talk about them, but probably not on this episode any longer. So I'm going to wrap up with, at the end of every episode, I ask rapid fire this or that questions.
Okay.
And we call them shots. So are you ready for some shots?
Always.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Both.
iPhone or Android?
Does this even need to be asked? I do not have a green text message coming from my phone. No, sir.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
I feel attacked. I really feel attacked. But I guess dishes. I have a ton of clothes. I have like 5 dishes, so those plates have to be clean.
Facts. TikTok or Instagram?
Insta.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy, baby. Spicy.
Of course. Favorite season?
Cajun. I'm kidding. Summer.
Coffee or drink state?
Drinks. Drinks. Drinks first.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
A 10.
What is your drink of choice?
Ooh, it really depends on the setting, but I'm going to go with a mezcal sour is my go-to. One of my friends from college put me on it recently. Highly recommend. You better all get it.
Ooh, what's in it? I'm guessing mezcal, but
yeah, you would think, right? mezcal. And then they also will put like other alcohol depending on where you go. Like I know some people like will mix it with bitters, but essentially like it's a mezcal base with then a lemon supplement, whether it's lemonade or lemon juice or whatever, and then the bitters.
What's your favorite song at the moment?
I've been listening to Picture Me Rollin' by Tupac hella. And I always go ham when he's like, dress code changed. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm popping off.
And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
I would name it Sundance.
Cute. Thank you to our amazing guest today. I hope you had a good time.
I had the best time. I mean, you know I love talking with you. I could talk to you for ages, but this was a really interesting conversation. Thank you for having it with me.
All right. Welcome back after a few months. If you've listened to the first episode, you might know that a lot of these episodes were recorded last summer. So now we're revisiting with our guests to kind of see where they are at and what has happened in their lives. So welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're here. A lot has changed.
Yeah, a lot has changed. That's like the understatement of the century.
I know. And our listeners might have heard like some pause between the episode earlier, and I said that we would talk about, you know, what happened. So, you know, I want to hear from you. Where has the last few months taken you? Where are you at in terms of your life, in terms of your relationships, and, you know, what happened with that relationship, that long relationship we were talking about?
So again, thank you so much for having me back on and giving me this ability to do kind of a reflective journey with you. The first time we filmed, I felt like it felt really healing for me in a way, because I was able to quite literally air out my grievances and like express the emotions that were building up inside of me during such a tumultuous time. And so now in a couple months out of the trenches, looking back on the instances that spurred our original episode and thinking about the months that have followed, has been a really illuminating journey for me personally. There have been so many personal changes, so many professional changes, so many updates in my relationships, some which are, you know, more impactful than others. And they've all been part of such an important inner growth, inner healing journey for me. It's almost like journaling in a way, but like doing it on a platform and like cracking jokes with your friend.
I mean, I think that's better than journaling, but I'm glad that I could, you know, help you through this, because it's been a lot. I mean, let's let our listeners in into the drama of it all just a little bit. Like what? Yeah. What have you been going through? Like what's been going on?
Okay, fortunately, I'm in a good place. You know, like mentally, emotionally, I am like refreshingly at peace with myself and others, and I'm just like going through the world in a very zen state, which is, you know, I would not say that that's been my natural predisposition for the last couple of years. So being able to just feel more solid in my footing has been amazing. And I really do credit the experiences over the last several months contributing to that. The last time that we talked on Drinks First, we were talking about all the different, like, you know, kind of what led to me getting Drinks First with NYC's kind of eligible. And that was like the demise of a long relationship that I had been in. It's like so hard to put like a date for start and end, you know, in this modern world. What are labels? But yeah, like it just came to a pretty like jarring and upsetting end. And I remember like when we talked about it the first time, like I had felt so wronged, like so wronged. It was the type of thing that would send somebody on a rampage. You know, I had never felt that incensed in my life before. And looking back, I mean, we've talked about this, but that's private, guys. looking back, it's just wild the amount of context surrounding these like situations that seemed so inexplicable to me and just seemed so unfair and so and like yeah like so offensive to me, so much illuminating context that in a way was like, holy shit, I can't believe that I wasn't looking at it this way, or I can't believe I didn't know that. But also having some distance, like, and also, yeah, having some distance allowed me to kind of reflect on my relationship, the destruction of my relationship, kind of in its totality. Like, I was able to see myself as, like, an actor in this situation, as somebody that, like, had their own, like, flaws and like bad habits and bad behaviors that they brought to the table. And it was kind of like, in like a counterintuitive way, it made me feel less like a victim in the whole thing, you know, because I felt so victimized. I was like, how could he do this to me? Like, how could that, you know, I was just so offended. But I was like, why am I taking it personally? One, and two, like, I contributed my own like misdoings, and not to say that one misdoing excuses another, but it was nice for me to be able to see myself as like my own person, my own actor, like an empowered human being that, you know, takes credit for their good things, but also kind of their mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what's even more interesting is like, you had an audio record of how you were feeling at the time. You know? Like, I, like, some context, when I go in and I re-record these episodes with everyone, I let them listen to the episode that they recorded just so they know what they said. And I wouldn't usually like to do that, but because I want things to be as organic as possible. But in this sense, you could hear, you know, the way that you felt at the time, which I agree was really like, you were really hurt, but to be honest, you had every right to be hurt, because with the information you had at that time, that's like, your feelings were completely justified. You had a gut intuition about something in your relationship being off, and you were right. You were right. Something was off, and you were able to get out of that situation. And I think now with time and context and more closure, you've been able to reflect on, you know, what, like, what that experience was actually like for you and what it might have been like for him as well.
Totally. And that's two things that I really wanted us to talk about, and I really hope that all of your listeners really internalize this as well. It's like a two-pronged thing, and the first is like communication. My gut intuition was so strong. And it was so strong that it was like paralyzing me. Like, I knew stuff was going on, but I didn't like believe in myself enough to like really press the matter. I would be like, what's wrong? Like, oh, nothing. Okay. Like, leave it be. But it's like, if you're dating somebody, if somebody is your partner, especially for like a significant period of time, like, you know that person. Regardless of how well you think you know that person, at the end of the day, you know them. You spend all your time with them. They're your best friend. Like, you know that person. And if you think something is wrong, like, if your gut is telling you that something is wrong, and this applies to anybody in your life, even to yourself, you have to trust that. You have to push. Like, it's always worth it in the end. thinking back, I wish that I had pushed harder during those instances where I knew something was going on. I knew people weren't being honest with me. But if I had pushed, like, I would have gotten my closure so much more quickly. And fortunately, and this brings me to the second thing, we both got a lot of closure out of the situation. But at that point, like, months had passed. And it was like a really, like, kind of sit down, mature conversation going over everything where both of us kind of took accountability for where things went wrong and we called things by what they were and like owned up to that. And I mean, I feel like that's the only way that closure can happen. Like if you are waiting for somebody to like apologize to you or like vindicate you, you need to be prepared that the only way you're going to get those feelings is if there's complete accountability involved. And I feel like that's such an important communication strategy as well, that I didn't realize the impact of it until I was in that moment and I realized how powerful it was.
And the reason I'm not prodding you, because some people who listen to the podcast might know that I like would like to push usually, but I know in this situation it's very sensitive, and I don't want to reveal anything about this person's like situation. So with that, I like really appreciate you shedding some light on kind of what happened. And I know maybe for listeners this might be incredibly high level, but sometimes you have to respect people's boundaries and space, and we're not going to delve so deep into it. But just know, like, a lot of reflection has happened and a lot has gone down since the moments of this relationship. And I think that nobody could have expected what the issue was. And it just was not as cut and dry as, like, one might think it would be.
Yeah. It's interesting that you use the phrasing cut and dry. I think something that I've also learned in the months after the breakup and entering the pool of kind of eligible New York singles and like meeting different people, you know, from all different walks of life that had different values, different ways of doing things, is you realize that people really are so just complicated individuals. You can't really take anything personally. And yeah, of course, something like egregious, yeah, it's definitely something to pause and wonder about. But at the end of the day, like, we're all just human beings. We're all kind of struggling to figure out our cards and have a good time while we do it. And like, I remember, like, in my relationship, I would get like so incensed over like minute things that subsequent relationships were what taught me not really to care about that. Like, somebody says they're going to call you back and they don't call you back right away, or they call you like a couple hours later because they got distracted doing something else. Like, that doesn't mean they don't care about you, but that's how I took it. You know, I was like, mm-hmm. You made a commitment to me. Like, why do you break it? Or it's like, if plans change, it's like, that doesn't mean that they're not putting you first. It just means that like, you're young, life is happening, you know? And like, I was always like a super flexible person, but like in my relationship, I realized I wasn't being flexible at all. And it was only after I started dating other people and I realized that a lot of us have just the same flaws across the board. But at the end of the day, like, we all kind of want the same thing. For anybody listening, like, I'm not hardo at all anymore. Like, now I'm just super 100% easy and chill. hit me up.
I think a lot of that also comes from the fact, and like you said it yourself, like, people have like shit going on. And like, from my own personal experience, I think people can look at me and be like, oh, wow, like, she does a lot. Like, she has a job. She does the podcast. Like, she does all of these things.
She has a really cool job, by the way. She has a really cool job. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody so they, like, track you down, but, like, your job is dope.
I mean, I love my job. I love the podcast. I love the events. But, like, people don't know the other shit that people deal with. Like, that doesn't mean these past few months I haven't been dealing with, like, and I'm really just speaking from my own experience. Like, I haven't been dealing with, like, I have been dealing with family situations and like really tough things, like whether it's death and sickness and disease and sadness. Like, all of these things are part of life, and you never know what somebody is going through. Even on the outside, it's like they seem like they have it all together. And more often than not, that's not the case. So that being said, would love to know where these past few months have taken you, kind of relationship wise, being back in the singles pool. Like, how are you meeting people? Like, would love a quick synopsis on that.
So with the first time we talked about this, when we first recorded, I was saying that I was on dating apps, and I mentioned The League, Bumble, and Hinge. I have honestly not been using the apps that much anymore. Like, I met a couple of people while I was out. And like, I went on a couple dates with them, some more than others. Some you could like call it a thing, others, you know, you would not call it anything. But once you start, like, I think it's just like breaking the seal. Once you find one person in real life and go on a date with them and start going out with them, then it's like it happens all the time. It just starts happening everywhere. Like, everyone you meet is like asking you out. Like, they're trying to put their number in your phone. Like, it won't happen until it happens one time. And then it's like everything changes. I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it's like a biological thing. Like, and then they can start sniffing you out, like, after one of them get their paws on you or what. But so I weaned off the apps and started to do this like real life thing. Could you imagine?
No, absolutely. Like, that's how I felt in Miami. Like, last year when I was in Miami, I started meeting people out, and I was like, whoa, like, I know, like, you break the seal, and then it started happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so much better than me like meeting somebody off of an app. But I think, at least for me, being back in New York, like, personally, I need to break that seal again. Like, mm-hmm. You might have to do it multiple times in different places, but I think it's so much about the energy that you give off. Because in a place like New York, I'm super comfortable. I have my friends. I'm like, I know my people. I know my places. In Miami, I was way more open. And so I think my energy was shifted. And that was the same thing also when I was living in Barcelona. Like, when I didn't know as much about my surroundings, I put myself out there a little bit more.
That's so interesting that you say that. I feel like you're one of the more high profile characters in New York. Like, you are the type that could enter like a place and odds are a couple people there at least will know you, you know, and you always know who's where, who's who, like what's going on. Like, you're just like that chick. So when you're maybe like in a Miami or a Barcelona or like on your traveling the world game, like, yeah, like, you're not as notorious, so you kind of have to go out on the streets and, like, flag a hoe down.
Absolutely. You, like, push yourself, and you're like, I'm going to meet people, because that's the kind of, like, that's the personality I have when I'm in, even in New York. I'm very outgoing. I'm very extroverted, and I love meeting people. I love talking to people, but I feel like when I'm in New York, I kind of revert to being like, okay, I know people here. I'm going to be in the spaces that I know people. I'm going to be with the people that I know. Like, and I do want to be with my friends and spend time with them. But like, I think that's an issue for a lot of people. Also, when they go out, I'm not saying go out alone. I'm just saying go out with like a more intentional mindset to meet people. Like, now, if I'm at a table at a club and I'm standing next to someone, everybody in New York is like a little too cool to talk to one another. But I'll just be like, hey, what's your name? You know, like, no intention of like, you know, trying to social climb or trying to be or like be attracted to somebody. Like, it's like, no, I'm just genuinely, I want to know what's up. Who are you? Nobody will scoff at somebody who is friendly. And if they do, those are probably not the people you want to hang out with anyway. But
seriously,
I think that's like a great point, being like, you got to put yourself out there. And I think that's why I've been like doing
hot.
It's hot. Like, it's hot to roll through with confidence and be like, hey, like, I'm this person. This is what I do. What's up? What's your name? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I was doing so many of these events, and I'm like going to continue doing them, because like we're right off of, we're 1 week out of my season 3 launch party at the Jane, which you were at.
It was amazing. It was so much fun. Just like the other events that you had in the fall, all of your parties are fantastic. All of the feedback is always like phenomenal this, phenomenal that, which speaking of, I'm about to send you a list.
Oh, please. I want to hear it. But I think I've spoke to a bunch of other people. Like, I love calling my friends and being like, how was your night? Because I'm so busy with trying to make things happen that I'm like not paying attention to everything going around me. And it's always like, oh, like I met this person and this person, and like this person came up and talked to me. My friend who like just deleted all her dating apps, she was like, three guys came up to me last night. She was like, I really have to start going out more. So
seriously,
I really think that's like a great lesson for, not that I think there's anything but wrong with dating apps, but you definitely should kind of put yourself out there when you're in real life situations, because I feel like even you have met some really cool people, whether you've dated them or you've just like become friends with them in the past few months by being more out there.
100%. I could not agree enough. Like, the people that I met at your first Drinks First event, I said when we first recorded, we're still friends. We are still friends. Now, 6 months later, all of my quote unquote boyfriends I've met out on the scene. Like, it really has been so fruitful. And I think if you just put yourself out there, like you're saying, have that air of confidence, it's so refreshing. People love to see it. You have absolutely nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose.
Well, in that case, I don't know if there's anything else that you want to talk about, but you have put yourself out there in this unique way. So if anybody is interested, you know, stay tuned and listen to how you can match with our guest. Thank you so much for coming back on.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me for a second time.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much to our guest for talking with me today. If you're interested in matching with them, visit the link in bio on Instagram at drinks.first. Or if you don't have an Instagram, email us drinksfirstpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials for the latest updates, guest information, events, and other fun content. If you like this episode, please remember to rate, share, review on your podcast app. That helps us grow the most. I'm your host, Ariana Nathani. You can find me on Instagram at ariana.nathani and on TikTok at ariana.nathani. Be sure to check back next Tuesday for a new episode.